It's City Desk News and Views from City Hall. And now the host of our program, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. Hello. My name is Vincent Creel. I'm the Public Affairs Manager for the city, as you said. We are recording this City Desk podcast at 10:41 on Thursday, the 14th of July, 2016. We want to welcome in Public Affairs Specialist for the City of Biloxi, Mrs. Cecilia Dobbs-Walton. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are anxiously awaiting the new member of our little, what would it be, a quartet? Is that four?
Yeah, in fact, it will be a quartet. Hey, we'll be able to do harmony.
We are awaiting. We're hoping within the next week or so or whenever we will see the arrival of Chief Administrative Officer, we're hoping, Paul A. Tisdale. Right now, where we are with that is the mayor's intent on moving forward with a nomination for Paul Tisdale, who is currently a city council member. There was some question on whether or not a city council member could move over to the from the legislative branch, where he is a policymaker, to the executive branch. And one of the things that Mayor Gillich did was he asked for an ethics commission ruling on this. He knew from day one that salary was going to be an issue. And what Paul Tisdale right now is retired from the Biloxi Public School District, and he draws retirement from the school district. So what Mayor Gillich knew was that he was going to be capped on how much he could be paid, if indeed he could be paid at all, since he was moving over from the other branch of city government. What Mayor Gillich was told by the Ethics Commission is that Paul Tisdale could indeed move over. He could not be compensated. And they said also you might want to double check with the Attorney General's office, consult them. So Mayor Gillich is in the process of doing that. He is encouraged by the words he received from the Ethics Commission. And as he moves forward, he is hoping that the Attorney General will concur with the Ethics Commission and he can move forward with this nomination. If, there's a big if, Paul Tisdale has not said, yes, I want to do this. He wants to see a lot of these things play out before he makes his decision. But Mayor Gillich has said repeatedly that he thinks Paul is a proven administrator. The school district is about the same size in budget and in the number of employees as the city operation. Paul Tisdale has been at just about every meeting that we've had here internally, whether it dealt with MEMA or FEMA or the budget. The mayor has allowed him, even before this issue came up, the mayor has allowed him to sit in on all these meetings.
That's right, Vincent. And for those that know Paul, who is most fastidious, most conscientious, not only because of his education background, but because of the nature of who he is, that makes also a very natural asset for that position and very wise for him to be in it.
The mayor believes he's sitting right here. You know, here's some talent right in front of you. We have a lot of other things to talk about in the podcast today. Cecilia, I've been seeing all kind of people every day at all hours down at the Biloxi Lighthouse. What is up with that?
Well, it's the new
craze.
Yeah, new craze,
new
I guess.
Craze.
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
Pokemon Go. It's a game that people are playing on their cell phones. You see people walking all over in the visitor center, outside on the lawn, across at the lighthouse. They're using their phone for this new game called Pokemon Go. And what they're doing is they're going around searching for these little monsters, you know, to get points and stuff to play, essentially play the game.
It's essentially a reality-based app. That is based, it uses your phone or your mobile device. It could be a tablet. It's using your camera and it's using your GPS. Now, this game was devised by a company and you say, well, gee, why would they do that? Because it's a free app. Doesn't cost you anything. However, as you go, anybody that played Candy Crush or any of the other games online, there is also a component where you can buy things. So that's what they are looking to do. You can essentially what you have to do is you have to go to certain locations and then you can see things appear on your screen. Now, we have had dozens, if not hundreds, of people gathered at once. One time they were down there at 2 o'clock in the morning at the Biloxi Lighthouse. Why the Biloxi Lighthouse? Whoever the organizers are of this game, which is really taking the country by storm, dare I say, the Biloxi Lighthouse, our signature landmark, for whatever reason, is one of the sites on the game. and they're gathering there. And the only thing that we are asking is that people please remember that that is a very busy intersection. You're in the center median of a major highway. And we want them to make sure they use the crosswalk, don't get near traffic. Same thing for motorists. Watch out for the people there.
I bet you'll have words of music from John Miller about this.
John Miller was on top of this. How does John Miller, Cecilia Dobbs, it amazes me, how does John Miller know about this Pokemon Go crazy?
Well, he was actually informed by his intelligence unit a little over a week ago about this game that's coming up. So they were able to prepare and, you know, be ready for all this traffic on foot, and that would be at certain landmarks throughout the whole city.
John was aware of it. He briefed a lot of the, he briefed all of the patrolmen during their different shifts. His shift commanders briefed all the patrolmen who were out on the street. But I got to tell you, William Sackett, they were still taken aback by the number of people that they saw at the lighthouse. And in light of all the things that are going on around the country, Dallas, and all the different protests that you've seen, they were a little taken aback at first whenever they saw how many people were there.
Yeah, I could see a sense of apprehension because it's the pendulum swinging both ways. You don't know where it's going to land. And even though it's for fun, it could turn into, and I follow you.
So what they did was they said, this is good, clean fun for people. We are glad to see this. Gets people out of the house. Somebody had a joke the other day. They said that they saw a whole bunch of people who looked like they had been in dark places before. They were very pale. In other words, it's people who had been on their home computers are now out of the house.
Yeah. So there's actually a health component, which is positive. You're getting out of the house and breathing fresh air.
John said that's the only thing. He said it's a safe game and it's healthy and he's glad people are doing it. But remember the safety. Whenever you're walking and looking at your phone, be cognizant of what's right in front of you, number one. Number two, be cognizant of the different sites that this game will take you to. In some other cities in northern Mississippi, and I imagine in other parts of the country, there have actually been a couple robberies associated with this game where people were in an unsafe place or maybe at a wrong time, early in the morning or whatnot. The lighthouse is good, John says, because it's in a well-lit area.
Yes.
It's a signature landmark. It's two blocks from the police station. So there's usually a police presence around there. But he wants people to have fun with this, but also have a safe time. Same thing for the motorists that are going down past the Biloxi Lighthouse. Be cognizant that we have a throng of game players there. And if you want to see some of the pictures, you can go to the city Facebook page. Okay, we're hoping to have a throng of people over at the Margaret Sherry Library soon, Cecilia. What's up with that?
Well, this Friday, July the 15th, starting at 10:30 a.m., the city, along with the county, is going to have a ribbon cutting for the newest splash pad. This is splash pad, again, it'll be behind the Margaret Sherry Library, also behind the fire station that's right there. It's in the Pops Ferry Recreational Area, which includes the playground across the street, the dog park, and the little soccer field and stuff like that across the street.
This was a great job, too, because Connie Rocco with the Harrison County Board of Supervisors and the Board of Supervisors in general, they were able to use county funding and county manpower, and I think we were talking about an investment of $25,000, and this is not our only splash pad in Biloxi.
No, it's not. It is our newest one that's, again, going to open Friday, a ribbon cutting. It'll be from 10:30. It's the ribbon cutting, and festivities will go on to 1 o'clock, so the public is invited to go to that area. But also, like Vincent said, we do have a couple other splash pads throughout the city. We have a splash pad at, of course, the Point Cadet, which is one of our most popular splash pads. We also have a small splash pad at the John Henry Beck Park, and these are city-run. And there's also one at Wool Market, which is a county-run splash pad.
On Old Wool Market Road. Now, I know she doesn't want to say this, so you're going to cringe when I say it, but they're working on one, no timetable yet, but they're working on one in one of our parks, aren't they?
Yes, in Hiller Park is what they're looking at. With Hiller Park, with the all the revitalization that they're doing over there, all the fundraisers that they're doing over there at Hiller Park, mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to make the park a lot more enjoyable, family-oriented place for people to go. So that is something that they are looking at in the future, in addition to some of their other improvements that they're looking at the park.
And we want to tip our hat to Dixie Newman there, who has assembled a really good group of volunteers, and Remember, William, I did not say Heller Park. It was Cecilia Dobbs Walton.
Very strategic. I get that. Very smooth.
What we want to do with this show is we want to tell people some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that's in the works, and we've been careful not to set a timeline or a timetable on the Heller Park splash pad idea, but it is under consideration, and they're looking for funding.
And the splash pads are open every day, 7 days a week, most of them generally from 9 a.m. in the morning to 8 p.m. at night. Just call the Parks and Recreation office or visit online at our website to find out a little bit more information about it, such as the rules and, of course, the hours.
You know, speaking of, we like to talk behind the scenes. Let's go down memory lane.
Okay.
Real quick. And you may have no update,
which is
okay.
We're good.
Trains. Trains to Biloxi.
There is a good question. There is a working group from Amtrak, and these are the engineers, and I'm talking about not the engineers that run the trains, but they're the guys that look at the facilities. They were just here a couple of weeks ago looking at our multimodal. They were going all along the line to see exactly what was there. These are the nuts and bolts guys.
Did you tell them about your idea or the city's idea about putting it over the road and putting the station in front of the modal? Remember, you were going to do a little bit of construction. I don't know if I'm letting anything out of the bag yet.
No, but you're not letting it out of the bag. We have applied for the grant. I can't remember if we got the grant or not, but what they are looking to do is where there is between Kivett and Raynor, there is now a platform there because that's where the train station used to be. What we did was we built that federally funded, Coast Transit built that federally funded multimodal center, which means it can handle buses that go long distance, it can handle the local trolleys, it can handle the local cabs. Then what we're looking to do is have the train, multimodal, the train. So possibly instead of doing a walkway that would go over an overhang that would go right across Esther's Boulevard, and there would be a new platform there. Now, what Amtrak has also suggested in their visit the other day, they said, we would like to see you leave that platform you have now in place.
Ooh.
And build a new one. Their vision is one day we would need those two platforms. But the reason we need to build a new platform that would be ground level and ADA accessible is because it needs to be in close proximity to the multimodal transit center, which, by the way, you may have heard this. This is the only multimodal transit center on the entire line from New Orleans all the way down to Jacksonville.
Folks, and you should stop by and say, what am I going to go down? You should. You can get a sandwich. You can meet with friends. You can sit down. It is up to date. It is current. It's something you need to see and be very proud of, especially here in Biloxi.
And it's located in our downtown area, like you said, so there's tons of restaurants and shoppings just in walking distance as well, so while people wait for the train.
The beauty is, too, if we were going to have Shuckers games or if we were going to have a concert, three blocks away at MGM Park. So, yes, I'm glad you brought that up, and there was an update. Our good friend Todd Stennis with Amtrak called us to say that they were coming in town, and I said, don't forget to stop at the only multimodal, and he knew. He said, I know. Now, let's talk about something else. Today, July 14th, is a milestone day. A lot of people may not know it. July 14th is the fifth anniversary of
the dedication to the Civic Center, the Visitor Center, and the new Biloxi Library on Howard Avenue.
It was 5 years ago today when we had what Mayor Holloway at the time called $13 million down at the Visitor Center, and I think we were looking at $19 million. So that's 13 and 19 million. What is that, Cecilia? 13 and 19. She has no clue.
Let's see, $32 million.
$32 million day here in Biloxi, where we dedicated that beautiful visitor center. And you said it just now. If you have not been to the transit center, you should go see it. What about this thing over here, William Sackett, right there by the Biloxi Lighthouse, that visitor center?
Ladies and gentlemen, I've said this 100 times throughout these broadcasts, and I have emailed people that are coming to this area, so I'll just say it for the 1,000,000th time. If you live in Biloxi for your own self-pride and your own self-edification, you need to go down and look at the visitor center. Visit it. It is not a postage stamp get-together with people staring at you and handing you a little piece of paper. It is a quality, pristine built. It has history reeking. It has a video performance that is daily that lets you know what is and where did Biloxi come from. It's managed by a wonderful staff. It's the home base of the Historical Center. You can have events there, weddings, receptions. It is pristine. Really, it is a turnkey operation, but more than that, it's what it is, the visual effect. It's an emotional effect when you go there.
Well said. I couldn't have said it any better. What is it, $5 a person and $3 for kids to get in there?
No, it's free. It's free. And it's open, I think, seven days a week.
Every day. And it's a shame. If you don't get down there, there's no reason not to go see it. So we're looking at about 150,000 people that come through those doors. And then you got all those special events that are there, whether it's a family reunion or something even bigger than that, a corporate function, chambers of commerce, anything is held there. The other thing is the Biloxi Civic Center. The Biloxi Civic Center was first built because we had a number of carnival groups that we used to have their events at the Biloxi Community Center. They outgrew the Biloxi Community Center. They had to go to the Coliseum. At the Coliseum, you can't bring in your own food and drink. You have to pay for parking. So they wanted to see something where they could come back over here to Biloxi. Like you said, it's a turnkey operation over at that beautiful Civic Center.
And that's the right word, Vincent. Beautiful Civic Center. The ballroom. I always like to put names on things being in marketing and branding. I call it the Venetian Room. You walk in there with if you haven't been to your library and your Civic Center, I'm going to chastise you now a second time, you should look at this, folks. This is a beautifully appointed area. And you can have full shows, you can have carnival, you can do broadcasts, you can have any event, and you do it with class and distinction. And it's a sight to behold. You've got to visit this.
Okay, the Biloxi Library, the new Biloxi Public Library. It used to be over here across the street from City Hall. To get it out of harm's way, put it on higher ground, it was built over there, right next to the Biloxi Civic Center, with a nice courtyard between them. The interesting thing about the Biloxi Public Library is this. There is a division in there called the Local History and Genealogy Division. What can you do there?
We can find out history and genealogy.
There are a number of cemetery records in there. There are a number of historic documents. And who's that woman that runs that thing?
Her name's Jane Chamber. Yeah, she's extremely helpful. She's extremely knowledgeable. She'll help you. Of course, they have computers where you can get on Ancestry.com. They have microfilm that you can look up. They have old books that's just compiled with history. People make donations there, too, with family records. So there's a lot of stuff and a lot of information you can get from that center.
It has state-of-the-art facilities for the storage of these documents. There's a sophisticated system there. It does not use water. It uses some type of gas that is able to diminish a fire, and that is in the vault is what that is. And Jane is very proud of it. She even has exhibits from time to time where you can walk in there and see the construction of, say, the Vieux Marché, or the construction of different things in Biloxi, things that are so important to our history. She takes a lot of pride in her work. So that's in the northern part of the library, the local history section. The other great thing is, with all of the volumes of books that they have in there, when you walk in the library, if you go to the guest desk right there at the front, if you look southward to the major hall of the big library, as you walk down there, it's really cool to see this. The furniture gets smaller and smaller.
That's right, folks. That's right, folks.
The bookshelves get lower and lower to the ground. And the reason that is because at the northern end of the library, the southern end of the library, is the children's section, where they got little computers there with really big keyboards. They have all the bookshelves that are low to the ground. The furniture is all tailored to the young people. And the reason they did that was because at the library over here across the street from City Hall, story time was a real popular thing in the library. And they picked up on that and carried it forward in the new design. So it's a milestone day, five-year history of these. The Visitor Center by far is the gem of our post-Katrina efforts here in Biloxi so far. And if you go into the Visitor Center, you can go in the gift shop. And what's on sale in there?
All sorts of wonderful crafts and items that will memorabilia for the city and of the city of Biloxi, made by our local artists. And
but who is that woman that sells things in there? Deborah?
Oh, Deborah Jordan Sackett with a special lighthouse. Yes, the lighthouse, which is a nationally respected brand and is presented exclusively for this area. Remember, this area only as the visitors center.
But you're talking about a piece of artwork in addition to a functional thing. These glasses that she sells?
Well, it's called, she calls it art on glass, but it's a special paint that she has shipped in, and it requires painting and curing and then firing and then painting and then curing and then firing, all hand design, all made, each art individually made for the consumer. And one of, there's many designs there, but the one that's hotter than all hot is the beloved lighthouse.
Now, I say that, but by the way, she was also the star of Mardi Gras, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't she create all of the Gulf Coast Carnival stuff?
Oh, yeah, there was a special order made. Yeah, there was about, I remember being a part of that, of those 30-some-odd glasses of opening and closing, firing and painting and that type of thing. And she's very honored and very humbled that she was asked to do that.
To me, that's you can't get a bigger endorsement than that. No. Something that is so steeped in our history that they called upon Deborah Jordan Sackett, even though she's married to William Sackett, they still brought her in. Okay, remind people of the big event on Friday.
Again, it's the ribbon cutting for the new splash pad off Pops Ferry Road behind the Margaret Sherry Library. 10:30 a.m. come out, and the festivities will go on till 1 o'clock.
Bring your bathing suits.
We want to remind people, too, that we want to thank them for coming out to the Saints weekend. There was a big golf tournament out at Fallen Oak. We had a lot of people over for the Saints Kids Experience. Tons of pictures on our website. There was a great crowd that night for the Saints Hall of Fame Road Show. First time it had ever gone on the road, and those were just really good. One last question, Cecilia. David who?
Are you talking about David Nichols?
See how soon they forget it's William amazing. Sackett?
Oh, well, golly gee. You've been listening to City Desks, news and views from City Hall with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi. This is William Sackett speaking.